This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris, and as we approach Thanksgiving, a lot of Americans will be flying, which means a lot of people backed up at the security checkpoints where the TSA makes you take off your belt, makes you take off your shoes, take your laptop out of your luggage, and of course, don't bring anything liquid through here because we've got to stop every possible threat. Well, my next guest thought, I wonder if there are threats on the other side of the checkpoint. When you get through and you get to, oh, the gift shop or the newsstand or the restaurants or the duty-free shops, is there stuff in there that you could use to create something that would never have made it through the TSA checkpoint but could still get on board a plane and cause a problem? His name is Evan Booth, and he has put all of this into a website called TerminalCornucopia.com, where he writes about it and shows some videos of what he was able to do with those items. I was fascinated by this, so I've invited him to join me here today. Evan, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks, Paul.
How scared were you by what you found?
Honestly, I wasn't too terribly surprised, unfortunately. I guess the more recent developments, the Fragatino and the firearms that I've been able to build, that's a little scarier.
I guess I really should ask you before we continue with this, have you shared this information with authorities, and did they ask you not to publish or talk about it in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. My motivation for getting into this project in the first place, is definitely to increase our overall security posture. So with that said, I followed the model called responsible disclosure, and that just simply states that when a vulnerability or a problem is found in the system, then you notify the people responsible for the security of that system and work out some kind of timeline for them to, have a chance to mitigate that problem. And then that information is released publicly. So before any of this information hits the public, it does go to the TSA, so the FBI. And, they're invited to have a conversation with me or a dialogue to talk about that timeline.
And what kind of feedback have you gotten from them?
Not a whole lot, unfortunately. When I first started, I called the TSA and just kind of explained to them what the project was about, what I would be doing, and wanted to see if, I could, get a beat on whether or not they would be upset with this. And honestly, they seemed pretty positive about the whole thing. They were very welcome to get the findings and to be able to look over it. And so that's what I did, and I sent them the report, but I haven't heard back.
So let me ask you about some of the things that you built. You mentioned one of them just a moment ago, Fragatino. Tell my listeners just some of the items that you were able to use, common everyday items, and what you turned it into.
Gotcha. So the Fragatino, essentially what happens is there's a condom that you fill with about an ounce of water, and that condom is placed inside of this coffee mug, one of the stainless steel mugs that you see in the airport all the time. And it's held in there in such a way that, if you were to hit the button on top of the mug to, release the liquid inside, that condom would fall out and then the water would be released. And that water is, when that happens, is introduced to a strip of lithium metal that I pulled out of lithium metal batteries. And that lithium metal is wrapped around a 1 ounce aerosol. In this case, it was Axe body spray. So when this reaction happens between the lithium and the water, it releases a lot of heat and it releases hydrogen gas. And it does that very, very quickly. And so what happens is that exothermic reaction produces enough heat to make the aerosol fail catastrophically or explode. And that produces the explosion overall.
I laughed when you said Axe body spray because I've had several stories this year about it causing problems in schools where somebody sprayed too much and, the fumes from it. And here you are turning it into a bomb.
Interesting.
Now, when we talk about this here and when you post it online, are you concerned? I know you haven't heard much back from the authorities, but are you yourself concerned that somebody's going to go, oh, this is a good idea. This is like a how-to page for what I can do to cause havoc at the airport?
Not really. Honestly, Paul, if someone is going to make a decision about causing havoc in the airport just by hitting play on a couple videos, like it doesn't really seem like a very likely scenario to me. There's enough, more than enough information on the internet right now that if someone did have nefarious intent, they would have had that information a long time ago.
Let me ask you about another one that you made called Airplane Mode, where you actually used a drone that you bought at the airport, right?
Yes.
Explain that one.
And I've since improved on that design. Basically, the original model used one of the brushless motors that powered the rotor, the fan, or the blade on a helicopter. And basically, what you could do is attach a flint wheel from a Zippo directly to the shaft of that motor, and then that flint wheel, hit a piece of flint that was spring-loaded inside of a disposable lighter. So as soon as you hit the throttle or the stick, whatever you'd call it, that would spin up very, very quickly and produce a lot of sparks, which could in turn be used to start a fire or whatever. So since then, I've built what's called a mechanical relay. But it uses and I'm sure you've seen these, Paul, the big plastic remote control airplanes that you see in a gift shop.
Sure.
It uses that. And what you can do with this relay is remotely close a very higher voltage circuit. So basically, like if you wanted to, from your seat, close a circuit that was 72 volts or 8-9 volt batteries chained together in a suitcase somewhere, you can do that. And what happens is when you have a lot of voltage like that, it's very easy to run that voltage through a thin wire and cause that wire to heat up very, very quickly. And it's just a more efficient, less noisy way of starting a fire.
Now, as I listen to you describe these things, Evan, I don't think to myself, okay, there are going to be terrorists now who are going to take Evan's work and bring down planes. What I think to myself is, Evan figured this out, and other people must have been able to figure this out as well. There are other how-to videos about stuff like this on the internet. What that means is that everything I go through when I go to the airport at that TSA checkpoint is just a facade, that they know that they're not actually stopping anything bad from happening there. Do you have the same feeling?
I do, yes. It's often referred to as security theater.
Yeah.
Something in place that kind of puts people at ease.
So do you think that they need to ramp up the security there or ramp down the security and stop playing theater?
It's really tough to say. I'm a lot better suited to finding these problems than coming up with a fully baked solution. But my take on it is that, if we did go back to pre-9/11 security, we wouldn't see a substantial change in successful terrorist attacks. I think at the end of the day, when you talk about a threat of that magnitude, that sort of thing is prevented with solid intelligence. And so, if you're trying to catch a terrorist when he's walking into the airport, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
the worst possible place to find a threat like that.
And a reminder that the guys who took over those planes on 9/11 bought tickets legally and had box cutters with them, which were legal at the time. They didn't have to buy anything at the airport. They didn't have to bring bombs on board. It was humans intent on doing bad. And when that's the bottom line, that's where you're going to run into problems. Now, when you looked at this, did you actually go to an airport to build any of your weapons? Did you try on the other side of security?
I told the TSA in that initial conversation that I would, I'd love to do that. I would absolutely love doing that. I would do it in a heartbeat. But, as a citizen, without informing them or having permission, that would obviously be illegal. So all of the weapons that I'd built have been constructed in my office.
Yeah, I think if you told them you were going to do it, that would, kind of like the Heisenberg thing, would change the experiment a little bit. Now I'm curious,
exactly.
Evan, now that you've contacted them and told them this and published it online, are you worried that when you go to the airport every time, you're going to get the quadruple S security check?
I can't really worry about that. I wouldn't be surprised. I've done a lot of traveling since I started this project, domestically and internationally. And I've never even gotten so much as a mean look in an airport. So to me, that means that, okay, with TSA, they understand what I'm doing, and they're not going to hassle me about it, or maybe they're just not paying attention.
Yeah, I'm going with the latter. They're not paying attention because the security theater apparatus is not doing anything to keep us safer. The website is terminalcornucopia.com. Evan Booth, thanks for doing that work, and thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.